What's up, guys?
Hey!
How you guys doing?
This is the Same Difference Podcast.
Yay! I'm Skinny.
I'm Dee.
And welcome back. Deep in season two.
Yeah.
Nice. What are we talking about today?
Guys, welcome back. Thank you for interacting with us.
Yeah. I don't do all those things.
If you haven't already, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and we can meet in the comments because we love to interact with you guys in the comments.
Sure.
And follow us on our podcast platforms or on your favorite podcast platforms. And all of that is in the link in our bio on our Instagram page. So we'll leave the details of how you can reach us on an Instagram page if you haven't before. If you're not new here, Wagwan, thank you for sticking with us. We're deep into season two.
Uh-huh.
And we're deep into Arlequin Merlot.
For sure.
Delicious. It's going down smooth.
It is.
So yeah, what are we talking about today, Jenny?
Today we're talking about finance in relationships, financial issues in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, me, I'm afraid of that conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be upfront about it. Uh-huh. You know, like, I think that's like my biggest fear.
Ooh.
Like, I know.
Your biggest fear.
When it comes to a relationship. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think that's one of my biggest fears. Like, I know I'm not going to cheat on my person.
Mm-hmm.
But I consistently worry that if I don't have my money right, the person that I'm with is going to leave me.
Wow. So you legit feel like any partner or potential partner will leave you because of your financial status. Wow. I'm thinking I should move my mic this way because I face this way when I talk.
No, you're fine.
Okay, sour. Wow, that's your biggest fear. Oh, wow. I can't relate. Because... And I don't know if that's privilege talking or
I will say
femininity
this.
Talking, yes, but I cannot relate as that having been your biggest fear. Wow, that's very interesting.
It is straight girl privilege.
Mm.
Yeah, because you're always going to be taken care of. In fact, you're taught. You guys have the PhD in how to get money.
How to get taken care of, find sponsors, and be sugar babies.
Yeah, and then now for me, it's flipped on the other, like it's flipped on its head where I'm looked at.
Yeah.
Because again, here comes this word that I really don't, this term that I really don't like.
Yeah.
Masculine presenting.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Right? Just because I'm masculine presenting, then I'm laden with the expectations of the expectations that you put on a man.
Can I be a baby girl?
Can I be?
Is it possible? Jenny just wants to be a girl toto.
Me, I just want
to
be a girl
toto. That's all she
Imagine.
Wants.
Yeah. So hit me up if you're looking to do that.
But so,
yeah,
but for you, it's a real fear.
Yeah.
Gee, you know what I thought you would say is more to do with either disclosing finances or things like that. I didn't think for you it was as deep as it's one of your biggest fears, which is very, very defining in the sense that the way society looks at who provides, that it looks at, as you know, in a hetero relationship, it's a man. So therefore, in a same-sex relationship, it's the masculine presenting partner.
That's what I've faced. It's just a fear of mine. Like, luckily for me, the partners I've had before were very big on partnership.
Okay.
And
so they didn't activate that fear.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is an active fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like so, for example, because I'm the one who hits on the woman, say, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one to take her on a date. I'm the pursuer, right? So if, say, for example, so that's always been, like, at the forefront. Am I the one paying for things?
Okay.
Am I the one maintaining the upkeep? Babe, I'm going to do my hair this weekend. That is a thing that is...
put on you.
Thrown at me.
How do you feel about it?
Me too?
I don't know.
You know, like, so... you know, like, and that's for me, because I'm living in a straight society, mm-hmm. right? The issues of finance mm-hmm. are more often than not placed upon the man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's a vacuum of that, say in a relationship, mm-hmm. right, it is thrown onto another person who is closest relating to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'll give you an example. I am most of the time expected to be the one who buys flowers or pays for dinner.
Oh.
Or pays the rent. Or
Jenny, do you want flowers?
That would be nice.
There's a lot here.
Shut the fuck up. I didn't even get close to the bouquet. I didn't even get to smell a bouquet. I'm just being told, go pick.
Yeah. There's a lot of flowers here.
Go pick a flower.
Okay. So, I am enlightened today. Honestly, I am. Because I date, or rather, I'm... date. I'm engaged to a man.
Yeah.
And I've heard this before and it stopped me in my tracks that there's some men who like flowers or like receiving flowers.
Yeah.
And it stopped me in my tracks because I was like, but why wouldn't they? Like, they're a beautiful creation of nature. But why wouldn't a straight man at that, want to receive flowers? But I think I take it for granted, that my partner... is the one who would give me the flowers. I've never ever thought of buying my partner flowers. I've thought of buying him other gifts,
or...
but not flowers.
But you see, like, and I get that is not exact, same but different. But it's like when it comes to the conversation of money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The output is us. We spend the money on us. But
meaning?
The money comes from me.
Ah.
You see?
Uh-huh.
Right. So, like, say, for example, in your situation,
yeah.
if you were to look at the output, which is he would buy you flowers, you would both be happy. You know what I mean? Like, he gets you flowers, he gets, you know, a blowjob. Like, you know, like, the money is spent.
He gets a prayer.
He gets a pat on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Chop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pat on the ass, even.
Uh-huh.
But like when it comes to finances, right? Like the handling of money and where it comes from is more often than not put on the man, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The running of the home is given to the woman because you know that's you know. But money, right? The breadwinner is
the masculine.
Yeah.
It's the person that presents masculine to society.
So then now for me in a relationship, I think now that brings on its own issues.
Mm-hmm.
Away from, because I already think that is a problem inherently. Putting the finances on any one person is inherently a problem. It's going to be problematic,
mm-hmm.
right? So I personally believe that finances are an individual's issue. Male, female, doorknob.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, right? And so, like, because society is set up in a particular way, the construct that is society is a particular way, and it is heterosexual in this case. The faults of that, or the pitfalls of that, rather, right, bleed into other forms of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, if, for instance, what's the ideal situation for you in a relationship? Is it half and half? 50-50? Is it you treat, you know, I take you out, you take me out?
This goes back to like what you were talking about. Like, let's talk about like the things that actually matter,
mm-hmm.
right? So I personally believe by the time you're dating someone, you'd kind of have sussed out finances.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's
a crucial
conversation.
If you are dating intentionally, right, you kind of have sussed people out. Like, I'm not talking about you met this person in the club and it's getting
finances,
but even that
ticket item,
but
finances,
even that is an indicator, right?
Yeah.
Like, say for example, I'm not a flashy spender. I'm not going to buy drinks in the club, the new, like, you, I'm that's not like how I spend my money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you meet me in the club,
even if money was no impediment,
you're
a billionaire now, you're not gonna be like,
nah, that's the last thing you gonna find me doing.
Okay.
Nah. In fact, I'll be waiting at the bottom with you. Is that millionaire carrying some money? because I'm about to receive some, you know, hey, shit,
okay,
windfall, right, for that matter, mm-hmm, you know. But I think the way we judge people's finances, mm-hmm,
just look.
Yeah, the way we judge people's finances, or financial acumen or whatever, is very flimsy.
So do you now, for instance, when you get into a relationship, now given your situation where you're the one, you're experiencing this stereotype that you should be the one providing, do you then have a conversation with your potential partner where you're preempting it, or do you just kind of sit back and observe? What do you do in that sense when you're getting into a new situation?
Let me tell you, I figure out that I can, because it, you know, I don't date widely, you know, date like, oh, I'm seeing you. I very rarely have a tia roster. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when I'm dating one person. Mm-hmm. And so I have the advantage of getting to know you in the time that, you know, I would be busy distracting myself with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what would take us months to find out, I usually find out in a couple of weeks, because I'm not spacing out the time. You get what I'm
saying? What does that mean?
Like, if I meet you, mm-hmm, if I meet you and I'm interested in getting to know you further from that point today, trust you me, I'm calling you tomorrow.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to set up a meeting for the next day.
Okay. So you're being consistent, you're being intentional about your communication.
And in a short period of time.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't date. Why are you keep fussing with it?
I keep checking. It's like a baby.
It's fine. I don't fuss. What was I saying?
You're consistent, as in you're saying if you're interested in someone.
I wouldn't even call it consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quick.
You're quick. Okay, you're quick to express your interest.
Because I really don't enjoy the drudgery,
mm-hmm,
of prolonging. If we've hit, like, because I don't, because I'm
there's
not,
no hard to get, you're not,
because I'm not casting a wide net,
uh-huh,
right?
Yeah,
I have time, like, I'm not,
like, you're like, I'm getting this,
I'm fishing and
salmon, and this is
by
the
time I catch you,
yeah,
we know, like, yeah, you know, you've been caught, mm-hmm, and I know I've caught,
okay,
right?
Okay,
so like,
uh-huh, you're not leaving any gray areas, yeah, someone will know,
so
you want,
yeah,
them.
So what, okay, what most people, or what some people take like months to get to find out, or years to get to find out, mm-hmm, about somebody. I get to know that in a shorter amount of time because I focus. Like, I am, you know, focused on you. So money then also becomes a conversation that we have very early on in the conversation.
Okay.
Right?
And what does that conversation look like?
This is my current situation.
Babe, don't expect me to... What does the conversation look like?
Yeah, it looks like... So, we've been out a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much, you know. So, not every... See, kila siku Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to take you out every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to splurge on you every day.
Mm-hmm.
But also, more importantly, I would like us to know where we rank in terms of spending. Like, I've made the impression on you, fine. But, like, where are we on, like, because... I would also like to be taken out the same way that, you know, mm-hmm, and I don't want you to go out of your way to, like, so it's...
You don't want your partner to go out of their way to take you out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want you to go into the red
taking you out.
Try to take me out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'd much rather we have
that
conversation.
Yeah, that's not smart money management. Yeah.
For, on any one of us. And yeah. I would much rather you tell me, oh, this is...
In a month, I can take you out 1.5 times.
I'd much rather you say that.
Yeah.
Then you're out here like, yo, homie.
And then if you do, when you do have those conversations, do you then say to your partner, "This is my paycheck. This is how much I made from this film."
If you want to know those specifics, we can have that conversation.
Mm.
But we were both disclosing everything then at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But and I think that's just, you know, a question of discretion. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, how much do you want to disclose?
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to have the conversation with, you know, my partner,
yeah,
about how much I make.
Yeah.
How much I make, how much I spend, how much I save.
Mm-hmm.
what I'm actually spending my money on.
What you're working towards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the same school of thought, because if I'm in a relationship with you, especially a lifelong relationship like I am now, then there's full disclosure on both ends.
Yeah.
You know? My partner knows what's coming in, what's going out. I know what's coming in, what's going out, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And I think I am definitely in a different boat, in the sense of, I think just naturally, based on the fact that I've lived in a heteronormative world my whole life.
You still do.
I'm usually on the receiving end, usually, let's say majority of the time, because I also treat my partner. But majority of the time, I'm on the receiving end of being treated or being...
baby girl.
Being
taken care of. I know, it's such a weird thing to say. It's such a weird thing to say.
But yeah, I guess it's being taken care of.
Yeah.
But yeah, but then I had no problem taking care of my partner. Like, that's the thing. That's a part for me.
So would
I can't,
you date someone?
I can't always be on the receiving end. That's the other thing. I can't, like, if I was dating a billionaire, I would still want to do something for the billionaire. Even if it's something within my means,
yeah.
Me as whatever I earn or whatever.
Yeah.
But say, for instance, I'm not the kind to say I'm dating a billionaire to just sit at home and be like, yeah, take care of me as I put my feet up. I also want to be productive, and I also want to explore my talents and my gifts.
Yeah.
And so quite frankly, you'll find me still doing those things, regardless of the financial situation of the person I'm dating. It's not possible for me in the way I am,
yeah,
as a person, to just sit back and just let someone take care of every single thing, and I never give back in that way.
Would you date someone who has less than you?
Yes, if they're working towards getting more. If they're working, like, say for instance, right now you're makes less than me, not doesn't make anything.
Makes barely anything.
Oh, barely anything.
Yeah. Like,
short term in the sense that you're, and I mean short term
Let's talk about that.
I would date someone who's making less than me if they're doing something to improve their financial situation.
Right.
If you're sitting on your ass
doing nothing,
it will not last long. Mm-mm.
Okay, let's contextualize. Okay, so because I've been in situations where my partner is making more than me.
Mm-hmm.
And making more than me consistently.
Okay.
Right.
Do you feel any type of way about it, or you're like, go, babe?
Yeah, well, yes and no. Of course you feel some type of way.
Mm.
Nobody likes to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, and I don't mean lose in the sense that a team, you're in competition with your
partner.
Your partner.
Yeah.
I mean in the sense that if it is natural to feel some sort of envy, some sort of, some sort of envy, not jealousy. Some sort of envy towards someone who's doing
more,
doing better,
yeah,
right.
It makes you want to level up.
Yeah. Ambition is kind of sort of driven by some sort of envy,
mm-hmm.
right? But I mean in the sense that, like, my partner was making more money than I was bringing in,
mm-hmm.
at that particular point in time,
mm-hmm.
for longer.
Okay, and at this point, do you have a joint pool of funds, or are you still like, you keep your money there, me, I keep my money here?
It's a joint pool of funds.
Okay.
Because that's why this person is my partner.
Yeah. No, it's not obvious for every relationship.
I personally believe that... But then again, I guess, you know...
It's, like, not, it's actually not obvious. Some people are like, my money stays here. Then your money is our money.
No.
Yeah.
I personally do not believe that. I believe that the moment you get into this union, in whatever aspect this union may look like, whether it be a relationship, whether it be a long-term partnership, whether it be our marriage or whatever, the moment you commit, you are joining two lives. And that is everything.
100%.
I personally ascribe to that.
Yeah.
And I... Because, you see, I don't... Because I don't date... I realize that, you know, what people are calling intentional dating now is just what, you know, people are afraid to call monogamy or, like, you know, intentional monogamy, for example, right? So I personally believe the person that I decide to be with in whatever aspect that may be, relationship, marriage, whatever, 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 that this person and I are joined in one way or another, right? We're in a union. We're bonded. And that means a lot of the things. So if I have money, it is our money. I'm spending it on us.
Okay.
I'm spending it with us in mind.
Yeah.
Right? Be that in whatever throwaway way, be it maybe like, oh, that day I'll buy drinks or whatever, or let's put together your little bit and my little bit and buy our kashamba. Or I put this money away from this money that I made and I put it in our names to buy a shamba or to start a business.
Okay.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that the only way for that, my construct to work is if I meet someone who is in agreement with that.
100%. You have to meet someone on the same page as you are, because I also think... finances are a cyclical thing. Life is cyclical. One time you're up, the other time you're down. The pandemic has humbled us.
A lot of us. Woo. Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're Warren Buffett or those billionaires who tend to
or
benefit from disasters. But I feel like there's another part of that, which is this, which you know, sometimes for instance, in my case, my partner is more financially savvy than I am. Like, he worked in the financial industry. He understands the world of finance way more than I do. And so what I appreciate is him being like, do you know what you can actually do with your money? You can do this, things that I have never thought of, things that I probably would never have thought of had he not provoked the whatever
conversation.
And that's the other thing, that's the other part to it that I really appreciate, is that sawa, There's cycles to being financially free. You might find one minute you're swimming in money, the other minute you're jobless and there's no other alternative income other than a salary, and therefore now there's nothing coming in, everything is going out, and you're at the bottom. And so you need to have conversations like, how do you make your money work for you? How do you invest in NFTs? How do you understand these coins, Bitcoin, Ethereum, whatever they're called? How do you understand those things? Which I need to understand that world, because if there's something this period has taught me, is that one income, one source of income, cannot cut it in this world. It just can't cut it.
One source of income for one person?
Yeah, for one person. Because
one source of income can work for a couple.
It can if you're a billionaire and your wife likes to sit at home. It can work. But what I'm saying is this.
No, it can't.
If you have one source of income as an individual and that source goes, it means everything that came in
is dependent on.
However much it is, it's now all going out. Everything, even if it's just a little bit at a time, it's still going out. There's nothing else coming in. Yeah. And that's the lesson that this pandemic has taught me, is that you have to have multiple sources of income, recession proof ways of making money, you know.
But do we know that? You know, I think I think there's you were saying this in the last episode, how we put pressure on your partner to be so many things. I think we also like do that with relationships and like financial freedom. Right? We expect, like, as a woman, countless times have I been told, find someone who's of a higher status than you, just so that you know, like, find someone who can take care of you.
Yeah. Is that from the older generation? Because I know our parents.
Even so truly, now, shit, I'm even thinking about that. I believe that now, like, right now. Right now, if you call my number 0723. And you are, and, say, for example, yeah. Someone who wants Melinda to Gates. Keep me. I will say absolutely in a heartbeat real quick.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. Fuck the financial, like, acumen. Yeah. Fuck it. I don't even have to be personal. You are now my bank.
Mm.
I don't have to, like...
You don't... So yeah. it's taken away a massive worry for you, the finance.
It does. Someone,
yeah.
But, and that's because we've been, like, I can, you know, attest to the programming that was find someone who has the money so that you don't have to worry about how to make the money.
Mm.
Right? Or how to get money.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, like, other than working, right, you know, most people don't have any other, like,
that's so interesting because I'm also a girl.
No shit.
So
same difference.
So, same
difference. Is that the same difference?
The we same got the difference. So, but I was raised in the opposite. I was raised to get my own.
Uh huh.
In every area of my life, and by both of my parents.
Uh huh.
So there was a massive emphasis on independence, like. You study, you get a really, really good job. You do this, you do that. Like, it was always on me.
Right.
They never put that messaging in my head of, you'll be taken care of anyway. You know?
Yeah, no.
And so...
Yeah, yeah. But, like...
For that reason as well...
Yeah.
Yes, it created a fierce independence in me, but it also created a financial accountability in the sense that I never enter relationships looking at the person, like, what you gonna give me? I sort of enter relationships in with the mind frame of what can I contribute.
That is a fantastic thing.
Mm.
Because, like, you I guess because your parents looked at it a particular way, you know, and then society worked in that, like, in your favor to, like, legitimize that thought.
Mm-hmm.
I believe because my parents are also like, go out there and get your own. Like,
yeah.
Build your own and, like, have your own,
mm-hmm.
right? Bring something to the table. Bring anything.
To even if table. It's,
you know, just... But bring something to the table, you know? But I find as... Like, that narrative of find someone to take care of you is a thing that is...
It's quite
woven
common.
in the female experience.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's only until, like, recently that, like... Men would be able to be like, oh yeah, I have a sugar mommy, or you know, it's only up until recently, you know, but like from time immemorial, it's been women are the ones to be taken care of,
yeah,
right, and that is in every way. So like protection is also financial.
Okay, that's the straight people's manual.
Yeah,
and if you gay people's manual,
yeah,
it's still the same. Well, if you're masculine presenting and you're feminine,
I find that like. More often than not, I am looked. Because now I'm just like, huh. Okay, so more often than not, I will be asked to take care of my woman.
Right. And yes.
You get.
But then you're still battling with this thing of, but who's gonna take care of me? Because I also deserve to be taken care of.
And aside from that, it's just like. Why am I now financially responsible, emotionally responsible for a whole other thing?
So what's the gay people's version of a mubaba? Is that a mumama? If you're...
I don't even know. But, a benefactor in whatever way is just a benefactor, right? Like, you know... If
sponsoress,
you know, a cougar, I guess,
yeah,
you know, but like, and like, for me, the way that I handle like my personal finances versus how I handle finances in the context of a relationship,
different,
not necessarily, but one comes with a different set of or an extra set of expectations.
Okay, do you find yourself more willing to spend on a partner who's more willing to spend on you? Or are you the same regardless of the kind of partner you have?
I'm spending because I like to spend.
Okay.
So it's not dependent on my
the dynamic between you two.
Yeah. If you like to spend, that's a you thing. My reason for spending on you is either I'm showering you, I'm trying to show you some sort of affection, or I'm trying to like, because I personally, the way I work, impression doesn't necessarily end, right? Like, I want to take my person on a date, even when we're 10 years in, and you be like, you go back to your girls and be like, oh my gosh, like,
can you believe?
Like, so like, impressing my my person is not a thing that ends. But like, when it comes to like finances, I would like to know how you spend and why you spend the way you do, so that I can adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because your spending is not necessarily our spending or my spending. Right? And that's why I said, like, the way your finances work and the way finances work in a relationship.
Something's flashing.
That's white. That.
Nothing.
Oh, that's the battery. All right. Yeah. So, parting shots.
Yeah.
What is the parting? What, like, where do we land on all this?
For me, it's really, really enlightened me in it, like, and given me a glimpse into your world.
Right.
Because I can't say I've ever been in a situation where I feel any pressure from anyone to provide, to take them out, to treat them right, to treat them. Mm. To spoil them. Never have I experienced that pressure in my life, and that's a massive privilege. Because now I'm starting to think, what if I experience that pressure? It would do something. So yeah, that's my parting shot. Is I've learned my privilege today.
Have you now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My parting shot is, as with everything, being intentional, right? So the relationship you have with money, and I think even we should have had that conversation in the beginning. What is your relationship
with money? We can do that in another episode.
We can.
Yeah.
So for me, in a relationship, just ask, talk, be open about, especially your finances.
Yeah.
But more so to the point, just emancipate yourself. Like, no one should protect you. You know, you should protect you.
True.
If you want provision, provide for yourself. And be able to provide for others.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, guys. So, as usual, we're dressed in G-Pair. Follow us on Instagram to see shots of the full drip. And we will see you on the next episode.